Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Good to see you all. Let's go ahead and get started for this Administrative and Finance Committee meeting for Thursday, January 22nd, 2026. Hard to believe we're here. I am Chair Abdullahi, and this meeting is called to order. I want to start by welcoming Ron Morrison, representing the City of National City, back to our board and to the ANF Committee. Welcome, Ron. I would also like to welcome Tim Douglas from the City of San Diego. I think we are a complete City 10 now. Welcome, Tim. And Esther Sanchez from the City of Oceanside. Welcome, Esther, Director Sanchez. We look forward to working with you all on the ANF Committee. Nicole, will you please call the roll?
Chair Abdullahi.
Present.
Vice Chair Rant.
Here.
Directors Acosta.
Here.
Douglas.
Here.
Hilliker.
Here.
Kirschbaum.
Present.
Morrison.
Present.
Norman.
Present.
Quaylen.
Here.
Rivera.
Present.
Sanchez.
Present.
Serrano. Whitburn. Williams. Chair Abdullahi, you have a quorum of the committee.
Awesome. Thank you, Nicole. As we discuss the items on the agenda, I will be calling on directors who push their speaker button. Please limit your comments to matters not already addressed and state all your points when you have a chance to speak so we can move through our agenda. Are there any additions to the agenda?
There are none.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any public speakers wishing to comment on any item listed on the Administrative and Finance Committee agenda.
Calling on public comment for matters on the ANF agenda or within the jurisdiction of the committee, you have 3 minutes to make your comments. First speaker, Supervisor Aguirre, you may begin now. Supervisor Aguirre, you may begin now. I will go to the next in-person speaker, Mrs. Javier. You have 3 minutes. You may begin now.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Sorry,
but...
Yeah.
Good morning. Into hands we trust. We, Cesar and Purita Javier, both serious with existing medical condition and victims of ceramics manufacturing and kaolin emissions, toxic gases located, constructed, and operated at a residential zone neighborhood since 1984. We are hurt physically, emotionally, and financially. We live in fear, depression, anxiety, stress. We need water to clean the surfaces from droplets of particulates and contaminants, and water to irrigate plants and trees as advised by EPA Sacramento. EPA, federal authority, responded explaining that APCD must look at the limit of permit and that the issue falls on city zoning standard. City code enforcement referred us to APCD for air pollution jurisdiction. Director Paula Forbes of APCD says that it is a nuisance case, period. Her compliance and engineering department says otherwise, no order. Its impact is negligible region-wide. Councilor Rivera Award D9 leadership responded saying he will read out APCD only to discover he is one of the 11 governing board member of APCD. How could he investigate when
your time is up? Thank you for your comments.
In board meetings says yes.
Thank you for your comments.
Discipline.
Next speaker, Mr. Javier, you may begin now.
We are hurt. We expect from our elected officials, 11 of them, the mayor, I must tell you this, the look-alike of the chair of this county at Water Authority. I greeted him many times, sir, are you not the mayor? And he would just smile. The same thing as what they do in our case, community issue on toxicity, and seven more, which up to now, after 5 years of knocking at their door, expecting solution, 5 years, nothing has been addressed, particularly on the zoning issue. My wife said, we need water to clean the mess, like water that is directly needed in cleaning the Tijuana River issue. You know what? 2019, Mayor Gloria, then Assemblyman, was able to influence the governor along with the Environmental and Health Coalition. And from then on, 2019, they took over control and direction of this APCD, an agency with reason to believe that this is all about money-making. Governing board is dedicated on rules. Are they reviewing it? Are they examining it? If it's effective and efficient? No. And you know what? The director of pollution, the district, is focused on permit fee collection. Is this our government agency? Where is the money? Where is the money, Mayor Gloria? We ask this because our community needs services to clean and make our community safe. Again, we need water. And how could we have water when the bill is too high that we cannot reach us regular impoverished pensioners? Sir, madam, fellow citizens, we need water. And we ask the chair, this leadership, that since this is a county, could we not make the bill standard to all region-wide residents, Americans?
Your time is up. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Uncle Sam, for this freedom.
Next speaker, Supervisor Aguirre, you may make your comments now.
Supervisor Aguirre, you're still muted. Are you there?
Talking has been permitted. You may begin now, Supervisor Aguirre.
Supervisor Aguirre, if you're speaking, we cannot hear you. If you can kindly unmute. All right, we still can't hear. All right, we'll come back to her later, if that's okay, Nicole. All right.
If there are other public speakers online, please raise your hand through the Zoom app or press star 9 if listening by phone. I see none.
All right. Thank you so much for that. We will move on to our agenda. So the progress report for the ANF committee work plan is included in pages 6 to 12 in this month's board packet. The work plan covers calendar years 2025 as well as 2026. The work plan was adopted by the committee back in March in 2025. And just to show you just some of the highlighted items from our committee's work plan, it includes the approved contracts for critical confined space rescue services in February of 2025. We adopted the calendar year 2026 rates and charges in June of 2025, approved the new two-year budget for fiscal years 2026 and 2027 back in June. I know this may seem like a long time ago, and adopted updates and changes to the PSAR program in November of 2025. A final report on the work plan will be provided at the final regular board meeting of 2026. If you have any questions regarding this work plan or would like to make any comments regarding the work plan, please contact me, Lisa Marie Harris in finance, as well as Matthew in administrative services, or Catherine Love in human resources. And I want to take a moment again, especially since the fact that we're in a new year, thank you to the team for the awesome and phenomenal job last year, as well as for the board members for the important discussions and decisions we've made together for us to be at where we are today here in January. Also in December, Information Security Manager Francisco Perez was recognized by CISO's Connect as one of the top 100 Chief Information Security Officers in the country. And a great example of Francisco's efforts in this area is he assisted MET in organizing its member agency cybersecurity summit coming up on January 29th. All member agencies are welcome to send managers or subject matter experts to this event, which is designed to address the critical areas of cybersecurity that impact our operations and service delivery. Congratulations, Francisco, well deserved. And finally, GFOA has awarded the Water Authority with the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for the fiscal years 2026 and 2027 adopted budget. They were also awarded a special recognition for capital improvement. Congratulations to the finance department. Congratulations to all of us. Well-deserved award. We'll move on. If there are any comments from directors? Seeing and hearing none, there are two items on our consent calendar: staff recommendation to note and file the monthly treasurer's report, as well as approve the date change for the board of directors meeting in September. Our regular meeting was scheduled to be September 24th, and we're moving it to September 17th. Are there any questions or comments on these two items? All right, seeing and hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the consent calendar? All right. Motion by Director Acosta.
Second by Sanchez.
Second by Vice Chair Hilliker. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the item passes. We have one action item today. And before I hand it over to Lisa Marie Harris, who is our Director of Finance and Treasurer, to present the 2026 Long Range Financing Plan, I will be handing over to Tish Burge, who is our Deputy General Manager. We'll have some opening remarks. Tish.
Thank you, and good morning, Chair Abdullahi, Vice Chair Arant, and members of the board. I have a few opening remarks about the long-range financing plan before passing the presentation over to our CFO, Lisa Marie, and her team. As I shared with the member agency general managers over the last 2 weeks, we appreciate all of the member agency's support and insights that we've received since last summer when we started the long-range financing plan process. The plan before you today is the culmination of significant effort and collaboration on the part of your staff, both at the member agencies and here at the Water Authority. Before we dive into the long-range financing plan, I will touch on a few critical items to the Water Authority: the new business model, water transfers, and debt service coverage ratio levels. So first, the business model. Last year, the board directed staff to convene the member agency managers to discuss and work on a new business model for the Water Authority, which included 7 areas of interest to the member agency managers. Those areas were settlement of metropolitan litigation, focus on core responsibilities of the Water Authority, contract for the sale or transfer of Water Authority supplies, improved demand forecasting methodology, pay off existing debt, complete a comprehensive rate structure review, and pursue low-income assistance program funding. While significant progress has been made in several of these areas, congratulations to you, Dan, on that, and continues over multiple parallel tracks throughout the organization, adoption of the 2026 long-range financing plan is needed for us to go to market in the next several months. This funding is necessary to maintain our reliable infrastructure. That does not mean our work is done, though, with regard to these areas of criticality to the board. Second is water transfers and water deals. Our general manager has been laser focused on water transfers and water deals. The Water Authority anticipates that one or more water transfer agreements may be finalized in the near term. The long-range financing plan does describe the Water Authority's ongoing efforts and processes to pursue and secure water transfer opportunities. Any material changes to the Water Authority's financial outlook resulting from future water transactions will be evaluated and, if necessary, addressed through an addendum to the long-range financing plan. Such an addendum would include updated forecasts. Third is our debt service coverage ratio levels. Last night, I forwarded a letter to you from the City of San Diego Public Utilities Director to our general manager. That letter had 2 recommendations, one of which was to constrain the debt service coverage ratio to no higher than 2.0 times. Our CFO, Lisa Marie, and her team will outline the reason staff does not recommend a maximum debt service coverage ratio based on industry best practices and a national survey that included our member agencies. Additionally, we will articulate the reasons behind the recommendation that a debt service coverage ratio of 30 be considered disproportionate and trigger staff to present available options to the board regarding this excessive coverage. And with that, I'll turn it to Lisa Marie to introduce the recommended 2026 long-range financing plan.
Thank you, Tish, and good morning, Board of Directors. Lisa Marie Harris, Finance Director for the Water Authority. Prior to turning over the presentation to Pierce, I would like to address why the staff does not recommend a maximum debt service coverage ratio. The staff, working with our financial advisors over several months when this idea came about, we conducted a national research to identify maximum debt service coverage ratios throughout the country. We had 3 findings. The first finding was that issuers and utilities that enjoy the ratings that we enjoy at the Water Authority have target levels that far exceed 2 times. Reminder, our target is 1.5. The letter you all received is recommending a maximum of 2 times when our peers have targets that exceed 2 times. The second finding was based on national research, we could not find an entity in this country with a maximum debt service coverage level. So the third finding was, since we couldn't find one, we researched maximum coverage levels achieved. From there, we could figure out maybe how to identify a ceiling. The 30-times ceiling was informed by an analysis of possible debt service coverage volatility, specifically benchmarked against our member agencies. And we found that the City of San Diego coverage volatility between 2016 and 21 reached all-time highs. During this time, the city's coverage went from 2 times in 2016 to 24 times to 2017. And then from 2017 to 2018, it went high as 36 times. And then in 2021, it went down to 4.84. So the question was, well, where did we get the 30 times? We got it based on member agency data points, in particular, the City of San Diego. So in summary, the research showed that not only are there no entities that have maximum coverage levels, but based on volatility, we found that entities can achieve high coverage levels given certain conditions. And although those conditions occur, the entity rationally moved back to normal levels. So I would argue that setting a maximum coverage target, given that they do not exist as far as we could tell, sends a message to the market that this board lacks financial confidence in this agency. And I would, at a time when we really need financial confidence, because we're going to be going to the market and we're going to be asking investors to have confidence in us as we ask them to borrow to give us $285 million in less than 6 months. So the question I would pose this board, should you consider it reasonable to have a maximum coverage when it poses a risk of messaging to the market lack of financial confidence? So in conclusion, that was the rationale for the staff opposing a maximum debt service coverage level. So I'm going to turn it over to Pierce, and he's going to run through the long range financing plan.
Good morning, everyone. Pierce Rossum, financial planning manager here in the Finance Department of the Water Authority. It's my pleasure to detail the recommendations for the 2026 Long Range Financing Plan. The details start on page 24 of the board packet. We've talked over the last year now about our policies and what this document is and what this document isn't. As Tish mentioned, it's really the purpose of this is so we have a financial forecast that is updated as best as we know today. So when we go to the market and ask for money, they have the most readily available information. It's not based on historical aquifers. It's not based on the budget. It's based on what we know today. It's based on what this board sets as policies that really are the guardrails to staff's analyses as we move forward. But with that said, this does not authorize any spending. This does not authorize any setting of rates. This does not handcuff the board in any way in terms of policies or anything. These are just simply governing ideas that we are using as a framework to move the discussion forward for why the rating agencies and the bondholders should accept our offer of $285 million of new money. We've worked going through this process, really kicking off the ideas of what our existing policies were. We started all the way back in January of 2025 because we wanted an opportunity, should any of those policies change, that we would address them in the CY26 rate setting process. This board at that time, after 4 months of discussion, decided that there was no need to change those policies and that a more robust conversation would be had in the coming months. We kicked that off in July with a full presentation on what the long-range financing plan was. We've worked hand in hand with our member agency managers. So you see MAM up on the screen. That is the member agency managers. MAFO is the member agency's finance officers. We worked with all parties that were available. We were looking originally to get this document adopted in November, but it was decided that more time would be appreciated. So we're here now several months later for adoption. And we took the opportunity over that recess to have more meetings with MAM, more meetings with MAFO, to really ensure that we are hearing all the concerns, addressing the concerns. And ultimately, the framework that we identified for this board in October with the executive summary remains unchanged. The document is driven by core tenets. And we've come up with kind of how do you do this? We've heard three legs of a stool. We've heard those types of things. But ultimately, what we're trying to do here is how do we frame the entire financial picture of the Water Authority into three core concepts? And these were affordability. How can we maximize our resources so we minimize what we're requesting from ratepayers? How can we control costs? How can we turn every stone? And while we're not analyzing the impacts of potential third-party water deals, we are, as Tish mentioned, focused on that and hope to have more news in the coming months. Asset management, this board has set a lower bar in terms of their infrastructure reliability. Several years back, we had an extensive conversation on how much funding should we do, what level of reliability. We went from a low risk to a moderate risk CIP, and that's where we've been for this last several years. That's continuing in this plan. And then financial flexibility and stability. There's a 10-year outlook here, and what we're trying to do is really moderate the ebbs and flows that we know are bound to come. Now, as we jump into the recommendations, I'm going to start with the future rates. I think that is something that most of this group in here is concerned about, is with these core tenants, with this framework, what does it mean to my bottom line? What we're looking at is average increases of between 4.2 and 7.2%. Now, you might have read in a newspaper article earlier this week that the Water Authority is forecasting 150% increase in rates through 2035. I have no idea where that number came from. I'm happy to report that it's not anywhere close to that, that over the 10-year, the high-low is between 38% and 65%. We got there, the range exists because we have a high-demand scenario where we sell more water. The more water we sell, the more we're using, economies of scale, and the rate gets lower. We also have a lower-demand scenario where we sell less. And the baseline is based on what the member agencies, your agencies, told us that they would use starting in calendar 26 and then accounting for all the local supply development as you have it scheduled as of last year. We have volumetric rates and we have fixed rates, but at the end of the day, we were between that 4.2 and 7.2% increase. And we talk in CAGR, so compounded annual growth rate. The reason that matters is an average increase, if I increase rates 50% in year one and do nothing for the next 10 years, that's 5% average. But that 50% increase is going to be a big pill to swallow, right? So timing matters in these increases. When we take a look at the schedule that's forecasted, is we start with 5 to 6% increases in the front end, that gets lowered down to about the 4% range in the middle of the schedule of the forecast. And then to account for the possibility of phase two pure water, which is reported to come online in full in 2035, we would have two larger increases to address the loss of water sales and to ramp up rates accordingly. Again, this forecast assumes all local supply development based on the original schedules provided by the member agencies and no water deals. We have a framework. We've talked about this before. We presented the same framework in October, and each of the highlighted items in orange, I will continue to go through. All the way down at the bottom, you see maintain the policies and the guiding principles. Those continue. And all the way back in kind of February and March, we made adjustments to the short-term debt policy that is provided in our disclosure statements. And so we have that for you as a red line, just to make get that on equal footing with our long-term debt policy. Starting with the capital funding mix, this is really, we have infrastructure to fund. How are we going to fund it? Is it going to be with PAYGO, or another word to use is cash, or are we going to debt fund our infrastructure? Now, what we looked at is, what are we funding? Are we buying things with a short useful life that we can afford today with cash, or are we investing in major infrastructure that has a useful life well beyond the 30-year debt that we'd be taking out? And the answer is, it's pipelines, it's long useful lives, 50-year plus. So from an affordability standpoint, from a generational equity standpoint, it makes sense for us to issue debt. because we don't need to generate $150 million of cash today to fund pipelines that are going to be used for the next 60 some odd years. The graph on the left shows you the blue is the anticipated use of the debt. We typically will issue debt once every 3 or 4 years. The blue line doesn't represent new issuances each and every year. It just represents when those debt proceeds would be used. So as Lisa Marie mentioned, we'll issue $285 million in debt. That would be drawn down through 2028. We would look to do another issuance maybe in 2029. And you see that balanced with PAYGO. Ultimately, what we're looking at is 62% of that capital program would be funded with debt. The other 38% would be PAYGO or cash. And the long range plan has a range that goes down to 40% just to provide flexibility, understanding that the market moves, our cost structures change, our revenues change. And so providing flexibility rather than a solitary number. We are also looking to maintain our 1.5 times coverage. As you will see in the long range plan and the graph on the left hand side, you'll see that our senior lien coverage ratio bounces above the 1.5 target and does not go above 2 times in this forecast. The reason it bounces around is, well, we issue debt and we pay off debt. Long term, what we're looking at is deleveraging. And so as we pay down debt, more than we take out debt, holding all else equal, that coverage ratio is going to increase. It's going to increase naturally because that's simply how that calculation works. Where you take a look at the right-hand side, right now, debt service expenses cost about 21% of our overall budget. At the end of this 10-year outlook, it's only 16%. So I made the reference back in October. When you buy a house, sometimes you're house poor because the mortgage is taking a bigger part of your take home. But as that mortgage stays fixed, as over time, it becomes less and less of your take home. The same story is true for the Water Authority here. And so coverage is not a driving factor of rates. Holding it down to a 1.5 level is not restrictive of affordability. It's harming our ability to fund infrastructure. It's harming our ability to fund operations. When we take a look at a 30-year debt stack, this is what our, you know, over the next 10 years, the additions of debt would look like. There's no additional debt being forecasted in this graph beyond 2035, but we will likely continue to issue debt as we fund continued rehab of our infrastructure. Debt will always be a part of this authority, but we show a pay down of our short-term debt as well as the long-term debt. The third piece is the maintaining of 150 days of cash. And we've really minimized this as best we could for affordability. We would love to be in a position where we had more operational flexibility, where we had more cash on hand to, you know, prepare against the unknown. But we understand that every dollar we collect is a dollar that we take from your ratepayer. When we take a look at this, we do see that the days of cash goes up, but this is to be expected. Because the reason for the increase is not because of our operating fund balance or our rate civilization fund increasing, but simply because we're trying to collect more cash to cash fund PAYGO infrastructure. As Lisa Marie said, we're going to have that $285 million debt issuance. So we're going to use that debt proceed first, and we're going to hold on to the PAYGO dollars that are coming in, our system capacity fees and our standby availability charges. So it's natural for that days of cash to grow, and then it will ebb and flow as we use that PAYGO. So if you extract out PAYGO, you can see that our days of cash actually falls below the 150-day benchmark. Again, we're okay with this because on a holistic picture, we understand that we have this flexibility. If you do start to go below that 150 days, on the gray line, we do start to have monthly considerations where, say, in April, when our debt service payments are due, we have a $95 million check that leaves the door. We need to have cash on hand in order to pay that. And so year-end snapshots are very different than month-to-month fluctuations that we all experience. Now, the splitting of the Rate Stabilization Fund is another recommendation. And to be clear here, this does not create a new fund. This simply retitles the existing fund. There are no dollars changing hands here. There's no dollars being increased. There are no transfers being made into the Rate Stabilization Fund. It is simply to help clarify the use case. For those board members that have been with us for the last 5-6 years, you've heard a lot of questions about the Rate Stabilization Fund. Can we use those funds? We have a minimum target. Can I go below the minimum? What can I do? So the intent of this, driven by conversations from this board, was to clarify how we use the existing fund. What we would do here is, rather than have a minimum, we would have a coverage portion. So it's in effect just a retitle of the minimum, but the minimum is based on our 3-year average of our debt service. So 50% of that, and that sets that number. As our debt service decreases, this coverage protection amount would continue to decrease. This sets the minimum. If we go below that $70 million, just as we do today, and go below the minimum, there's a policy in place to have those funds replenished, a plan in place to replenish those funds within 3 years. Anything above that minimum, or anything above this coverage protection, or above the coverage protection, is a proactive use case. So this would be money that does not have to be replenished. So it really clarifies that point. It's available for the board's use. And, you know, we'll continue to provide the board guidance on what this means to days of cash, should it be used. But this is all we're talking about here, is trying to clarify the existing Rate Stabilization Fund. We're not splitting it into separate funds that have different accounting purposes. We're not splitting it into new revenue targets. It is simply just retitling for clarification purposes. The final piece, based on feedback, is the creation of an excess revenue policy. We've, from time to time, been fortunate enough to have a windfall, and staff has come to the board and said, hey, we have this opportunity, we have more money, we got a refund, these types of things, what should we do? This excess revenue policy formalizes the process that staff has voluntarily taken in the past, and simply says, especially given potential third-party water deals and those opportunities for new revenue, if we find ourselves with more revenue than we anticipated during kind of the original budget process, rather than waiting to the next budget process to decide, we would come to the board mid-cycle and say, hey, we have some excess revenues. What can we potentially do with that? And so we've outlined in the policy and up on the screen now that we have potential uses, but it's not an exhaustive use. So it could be debt optimization. It could be paying down some liabilities. We could fund the Rate Stabilization Fund or provide stability capital funding, you know, even all the way to refunds or rate reductions. But again, the Water Authority staff will come to the board, identify how much revenue is excess or unidentified and not previously accounted for, and address that in full transparency of the board. With that, staff recommends the adoption of the 2026 long-range financing plan that includes the update to the Rate Stabilization Fund policy, again, only for clarifying its use case, the addition of an excess revenue procedure policy, and as I mentioned earlier, updated statement of debt management and disclosure policy that includes the short-term policy. So with that, that concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Pierce, for that presentation, and Lisa Marie. Before we move to comments and questions from the directors, we would like to try again to see if the supervisor is able to speak and provide her commentary.
Supervisor Aguirre, you are appearing on camera as a member of the public to accommodate the technical glitch. You may speak now.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Oh, great. Thank you, staff, for troubleshooting the technical difficulties. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak. Without stating the obvious, we know that we didn't arrive at this moment overnight. The high water costs facing our region today are the result of decisions made decades ago. Decisions guided by good intentions to secure water for a region long threatened by drought and climate uncertainty. Those choices worked. Water security was achieved. But the system we built came at a cost, and that cost is now falling heavily on households today. Today, debt payments are directly causing rate hikes as outlined in this plan. Overestimating population growth and demand has left us in a bind, and my constituents are being asked to foot the bill. And cost pressures on low-income residents are not easing, they are intensifying. Nearly one in three households in San Diego County don't earn enough to meet our high cost of living. And in District 1, that burden is already heavy. Nearly half of our households are housing insecure because people are paying more than 30% of their income to keep a roof over their head. Among seniors, nearly a third live below 200% the poverty level, making them especially vulnerable to stacking bills. 40% of low-income San Diegans spend at least 20% of their income on utilities, including water. Additionally, communities of color are most impacted. 40% of Latino households, for example, earn less than is needed to meet the region's cost of living. These aren't abstract numbers. Working families are forced to make impossible choices every day between their housing, health, education, and other basic needs. Raising rates alone is no longer sufficient. This is a structural problem that requires structural solutions. That means exploring water sales, but not relying entirely on them. We can creatively think of revenue generating potential of existing assets like excess land, and I commend the ongoing efforts to reduce operational costs at the County Water Authority. For the inevitable impacts these rate hikes create, we need targeted protections for the most vulnerable. For example, I commend the ongoing efforts to address the limitations Proposition 218 poses on using subsidies for the poor as a tool to offset rate hikes. This board should explore other pricing options that ease costs while aligning with existing law. Ultimately, we need a creative and bold set of actions beyond business as usual and beyond rate hikes. Water is a basic necessity, and affordability must be treated not as an afterthought, but as a core policy goal alongside reliability and sustainability. While I do not have a vote today, I am urging the members of the board for action and a plan that results in affordable water for all residents in our county. Thank you again, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to speak. And thank you, staff, for troubleshooting.
Thank you, Supervisor, for your comments. Before we move on to director comments and questions, we will have a few words from our general manager.
Thank you, Director Abdullahi, and good morning, everyone. Just wanted to add a little bit to some of the things that Pierce said. I want to let you know, first and foremost, nothing in this long-range financing plan is going to tie your hands as a board as it relates to rate setting. I think that's important. So when we come back to you at some point, we will not be making statements that you have to approve rates of X because of the long-range financing plan that you just approved. I hope that you can view this document as the Water Authority's best foot forward as we go to market. It's a plan, and of course, we can change anything at any time through a board policy as it relates to rates. So I just want to reiterate that point that what you're voting on today for the long-range financing plan is not setting a course that in 3 months, 6 months, 8 months from now, you've already locked in your decision. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Dan. We will move on to comments from the directors. First up, I have Director Whitburn.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, everybody. Let me start by really thanking the staff for the work that has gone into this long-range financing plan. I do think that it still warrants a couple of adjustments. The people that we serve want one thing, a reliable water supply at an affordable price. Over the years, the Water Authority has successfully achieved the first half of that equation. San Diego has a reliable water supply. And I think that we could take pride in the fact that we have all the water that we need, even during a drought, when other parts of the region are forced to ration water. With our water supply secure, what we need to focus on now is affordability. And this long-range financing plan must curb rate increases. And I appreciate the concerns that were expressed by Supervisor Aguirre a moment ago. As drafted, this plan still leaves the door open to unnecessarily high rate increases. And I'm going to recommend two changes to address that. The first is to remove the updated rate stabilization fund policy. By doing that, we will keep the focus on rate relief rather than locking ourselves into additional reserve accumulation, which could push up rates to achieve those reserves. The second has to do with the debt service coverage ratio, and there's been a fair amount of discussion around that this morning. And I appreciate the comments of General Manager Denham a moment ago about this document not being one that will tie our hands. Let me follow up on that with our financial team here. You know, the city's letter recommended a maximum debt service coverage ratio of 2.0. And I listened closely to Ms. Harris's thoughts on that. That recommendation stems from a concern that if we allow for a high debt service coverage ratio, then the Water Authority will be forced to propose rate increases to achieve that high debt service coverage ratio. Now, we just heard from General Manager Denham that that is not the case, but let me also ask you, how do you address the concern embodied in that recommendation?
Yeah, it's a great question. In years past, you know, 10 years ago, coverage used to be a driving factor of rates. And that goes back to my kind of house poor analogy, where the debt service load at this authority, the amount of leverage, how leveraged we were 10 years ago was a pressure to rates. That leverage is no longer the driving factor of rates. So achieving a higher than 1.5 is a reflection that this board is deleveraging. It's a reflection that we are paying down our debt. It is not a reflection that our rates are in excess of what they need to be. Our rates continue to be and reflect cost of service. There is no dollar that's being added to this because of coverage. We are simply obtaining coverage because we are paying down our debt. Our debt right now, more of our debt payments because of where we are in our amortization schedule. More of the debt is being paid to principal. Our debt is being paid off faster than it ever has been. And so that is reflecting in our coverage no longer being a rate pressure. And what you've seen over the last couple of years here at the Water Authority, that coverage continues to be above 1.5. We have other drivers for rates and charges. So much like the city, when they were at 30 times or 4 times, it is not a reflection that rates can be dropped because of coverage. It's simply a reflection of your debt load and your leverage. And so here, restrictions within that 1.5 to 2 times range would put artificial restrictions and handcuffs on this authority to generate new revenues, to pay down our debt, to restrict costs, because the only way to decrease leverage or decrease coverage is to spend more. And that's the opposite direction that we want in terms of affordability.
Thank you, Mr. Rossum. Well, with that in mind, then, I will go ahead and make a motion to recommend approval of the 2026 long-range financing plan, including the excess revenue procedure policy and the updated statement of debt management and disclosure policy with the following changes. One, do not include the updated rate stabilization fund policy for the reasons mentioned earlier. Number two, add language to the long-range financing plan that the Water Authority can drop below a 1.5 times debt service coverage ratio in order to help preserve ratepayer affordability. And number three, that a debt service coverage ratio of 5.0 times be considered disproportionate. That will trigger staff to prevent available options to the board regarding the excessive coverage. I think that these modifications are responsive to the concerns around rates. They're responsive to the concerns that Mr. Rossum just articulated. I think they preserve fiscal discipline, and I think they avoid unnecessary cost pressures on member agencies and ultimately the customers we serve. So thank you again, and that'll be my motion.
Thank you, Director Whitburn. We have Chair Serrano, followed by Director Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning. Happy New Year to everybody, especially all of our new members. Welcome to the San Diego County Water Authority. You picked quite the day to be here. Madam Chair, thank you again. I want to thank staff for their work on this plan and for their engagement with the City of San Diego and consideration of the city's recommendation. Colleagues, the long-range financing plan is one of the most important financial documents that we adopt. It sets a 10-year frame for how we pay for critical infrastructure, manage debt, and anticipate rate pressures, while also holding ourselves to the policy goalposts that define fiscal sustainability, affordability, and asset management. It also matters because it is one of the first documents rating agencies look to when they evaluate our financial posture ahead of debt issuance. In other words, this plan helps set our direction of travel. And for me and for the city, the North Star in that direction is affordability. We know the public is feeling cost of living pressures in every part of their lives. So when we talk about long-range financial planning, we have an obligation to also ask the questions that families ask at their kitchen table. Have we done everything we reasonably can to keep costs down while still delivering safe, reliable water to our homes and businesses? That's the spirit in which the City of San Diego offered its recommendations, constructively and in good faith. We understand this plan needs to be credible, it needs to be defensible, and it needs to reflect the real operating environment we're in, not the environment of yesterday or the one we wish we had. With regard to the Rate Stabilization Fund, I want to note that it is one of the most important tools that we have to help smooth rate impacts for ratepayers by name and by definition. I have certainly been a proponent for looking at this fund, its name, its intention, and the board's use of it. However, I support Councilmember Whitburn's motion because I don't believe splitting into two buckets achieves my objective. I believe the RSF exists to smooth rates for ratepayers, and I believe we ought to use it that way. So I think this board would benefit from having further conversations standalone and not part of the plan in front of us today. That said, I truly do want to thank staff for their work and consideration and inclusion of the excess revenue policy. This has been something that this board has long discussed, and I appreciate that it is providing a direction to staff should those situations occur. I also want to emphasize what I've heard from staff and our general manager just a moment ago and make sure that this board is clear that this is a living document. And I appreciate and respect that because I don't think this plan has always been thought of in this way. It was just a perfunctory measure. And so I believe this is a framework that we should refine as our real world conditions change. And I also believe we are entering an era where conditions can change materially thanks to the good work and leadership of our general manager. So looking forward, and as we get closer to potentially achieving third-party water transfers, it is my expectation that this plan will be brought back and updated accordingly, as staff has indicated. So colleagues, I want to thank Councilmember Whitburn for offering this motion. And with that, I am pleased to second it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Serrano. So we have a motion by Director Whitburn, a second by Chair Serrano. I would like to get through the discussions because there's a lot of speakers on the queue, and then we'll come back to this motion. We have next Director Sanchez, followed by Vice Chair Arant.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, thank you. And thank you for the baptism by fire for my first meeting. Thank you very much. I appreciate the presentation from staff. I have to tell you that we in Oceanside, in our agency, and we certainly are blessed that we sit on the San Luis Aquifer. Groundwater is something that we have been able to use. And in fact, when the first drought happened in the early 2000s, we thought long and hard about this and trying to figure out the biggest hurdle for our community in Oceanside, where the poverty level is pretty high, close to 50%. We decided, and again, you know, an aging senior community, and also I'm a baby boomer. I don't know how many of you are. But we decided to do something very, very drastic. We decided that what we thought would be the good thing to do is to try to produce 50% of our own water so that we would not be part of the burden on the Water Authority. We asked staff to go out and find the best affordable way to make this happen, because that was our number one concern, was affordability. Certainly all the other things and the impacts the environment, all of the other things were certainly concerns, but affordability, when you have dozens and then sometimes hundreds of people talking to you about how they can't pay their water bill and why can't you have separate pays for seniors and, you know, and others, Prop 218 just doesn't make sense to them. So we went on this bold journey called Pure Water. And I have to say that we really appreciate the support from the Water Authority. We really, really felt that we were doing something very, very positive, being the first in the region to explore this. In our last rate paying council meeting, of course, we know we have to pay the pass-through, and it was very, very difficult. So much so that our council decided, okay, yes, we'll go ahead and do this, but as to our city's own rate paying, they did not want to fund it completely. We were told, well, this might, you know, how would this, if we don't pay the whole thing, and this, you know, these are pure costs. This is not any kind of profit, right? But they're looking at SDG&E, so, you know, utilities, sometimes there's got to be something behind this that is not fair to the community. So what did the staff say? Well, maybe the water won't taste as well. Maybe, you know, less materials. Maybe we won't have people go out on calls after 5 o'clock. These are real, real things happening to our cities. I appreciate the motion, and I will be supporting the motion. We have to do something. What we've been hearing all these years is, well, you know, there's a high debt service for the Water Authority. You know, we got in trouble, you know, over the years. Even for me, when I first started paying a whole lot of attention, the idea of doing a duplicate conveyance project didn't make sense to me. I'm so glad that we abandoned that. And I may sound very naive here, and I'm hope to cure that very quickly. But we have to do something. We have to, and I appreciate the city of San Diego taking on, with the 10 representatives on this board, basically a leadership role. We've got it. We have to do something. We're Oceanside is on this journey. I think it's still a good journey. In fact, all our residents feel not one person voted against us going into Pure Water. So, somebody asked me, well, what about the whole conversation about toilet to tap? No, that never happened in Oceanside, because we're here to ensure that as a city, as a region, we reach these goals and targets of affordability. So thank you. I understand from staff that you need us to vote yes. I'm hoping that with these changes, we still get you that sense of going to the market and getting what we need to. This is my first of, I'm sure, many conversations that we'll be having. And I do appreciate whatever help that I can get from all of you to understand the bottom line, the bottom dollar. But please understand that our agencies, people are starting to not be able to pay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Director Sanchez. We have Vice Chair Arendt, followed by Director Rivera.
Thank you very much. I find it ironic that the Pure Water Program for the City of San Diego and their IB report talked glowing about the fact that we're going to be paying less to the Water Authority. That's great. As the city pursues Pure Water to solve its legal problem with the federal government over ocean discharge, it's reducing the amount of water sales from the Water Authority, which forces the Water Authority to increase its rates. And then the city comes back and complains that we're increasing our rates because we're selling less water. I got to figure that out. The other thing, it's just a little irritating for me, having been on this board for a while and also functioning in the staff function, is that this plan itself has been through over 13 meetings with MAFO, that's the finance officers, three with the GM specifically, and then three times the board of directors. And here floats in the letter last night, I don't know, 6, 7 o'clock, trying to watch the news, and here comes a letter. We need to make some major changes to this plan before we adopt it. And what I would say, with all due respect to Councilman Whitburn, the recommendations that you've made and got a seconded on and will likely pass because of the dominance of the City of San Diego will do exactly the opposite effect. And that is, at the time you're getting ready to go to market, you're signaling to the market that you're retrenching from policies you've had before, which could affect the way the market looks at your request for loan and fund and affect your interest rates, which could result in exactly the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice Chair Arendt. Director Rivera.
Good morning, everyone. All of us have customers concerned about the high cost of utilities in the region. The City of San Diego's letter dated January 21st, 2026 was received by myself yesterday evening at 6:31 p.m. The issues raised in the letter, I am convinced, were discussed at length and not glossed over by the region's water agency's general managers throughout the development of the 2026 long-range financial plan in the 13 meetings held. The 2026 long-range financial plan has been developed for the overall benefit of the region's water customers, and I hope that when comments to our staff reports need to be made, that these comments can be submitted in a reasonable time so that they are included with the initial board packet well in advance of the public meeting. We need to maintain our infrastructure. I concur with Director Arendt's assessment of the City of San Diego's position, and Otay Water District will be voting no on any changes to the financial plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Rivera. Director Williams.
Thank you, Pierce, for your presentation. And General Manager Zanam, this plan is, it's a plan. It's not a pursuit plan. So we follow the plan, and it's not a pursuit. So I will be voting for your plan.
Thank you, Director Williams. Director Acosta.
Thank you, and thanks again for all the hard work over 13 meetings plus. I too received the letter last night and was just kind of wondering, were these concerns brought up before over all this long period of time since the last plan 5 years ago came out?
Yes. So these statements, these plans, these ideas were fully vetted through discussions with the city. We had an additional meeting in November as well as December where these ideas were brought to the full group. It was noted there that there has been no ceiling or maximum for coverage, that it would be in an unprecedented move. And then the rate stabilization comments, I don't think we've heard it quite as clearly as Director Whitburn just mentioned or as was expressed in the letter. There is no difference here in terms of funding. So I think it's just kind of a difference here. All we're trying to do is kind of retitle the RSF. We're not creating new reserves and anything like that. So there is no, in terms of the financial impact of the RSF decision, there is none because it's just nomenclature. It's just that. But certainly the conversation on coverage was well discussed over the last several months with both MAFO and MAM.
Okay, thank you. And I would like to get some clarification also on the motion about the part where it said, where Councilmember Whitburn said that we wouldn't drop below 1.5 times the debt service coverage ratio. And at 5 times the debt service coverage ratio, there would be a trigger. Is that a trigger for board conversation or can I just get some clarification? Thanks.
Through the chair, would you like me to provide some clarification?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the second part of this says adding language to the LRFP that the Water Authority can drop below 1.5 times debt service coverage ratio in order to help preserve ratepayer affordability. It does not require it, but it provides the option for the Water Authority to drop below 1.5 when that is in the interests of ratepayer affordability. And then the last point is that a debt service coverage ratio of 5 times be considered disproportionate. It does not in any way tie the Water Authority's hands, which was the concern expressed by Mr. Rossum. But what it will do is it will trigger staff, require staff to come to the board and present available options on the disposition of the excessive coverage.
Okay, thank you. And could I get staff's response on that? Is that so?
Yeah, so if I may add, I believe that the request is essentially in the long range plan on both page 17 and page 45, we talk about, and I quote, however, based on a review of other member agencies' recent and highest debt coverage ratios at any point in time, coverage in excess of 30 times could be considered. If the Water Authority coverage becomes disproportionate or exceeds 30 times, staff will work with the financial advisors to present board information on the excess coverage and options available. So if the recommendation or the motion is to revise that 30 times to 5x, that's just, I believe that's the same trigger language we're using in the document. So rather than waiting until 30 times, which was, you know, benchmarked, we would just have that lower threshold for conversations with the board.
Okay, great. And to close up my comments, I wanted to thank Supervisor Aguirre for speaking to us today and sharing her perspective on affordability. It seemed like even from news articles and this letter from the city that affordability hadn't been put front and center, but it has. And I just want to point people back to the long range financing plan and where it says in here, the LRFP integrates the Water Authority's mission with a forward-looking financial strategy grounded in 3 core tenets, affordability, fiscal sustainability, and asset management. And I think the plan was written very well. I think it incorporated a lot of feedback and conversations with not just the MAM and the MAFO, but through our board discussions. And I know the board has had many changes over the years, but I do think affordability is something that we have assured everyone here, it is a main priority for all of us, and it certainly is for me. I understand that there are still some issues, and I understand the amendments that the motion attempts to make. I will support the motion. I just want to say thank you to staff, and I appreciate all the hard work and listening to us. And I appreciate General Manager Denham's comments about this being a guiding approach for us, a framework for our governing approach. I actually think that was you, Mr. Awesome, who said that. I wrote that down. But I just want to make sure that people know that we still have an opportunity as a board to vote and change things. This is the guiding plan for all of us for our long-range financing. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Acosta. Vice Chair Hilliker, followed by Director Scalzetti.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So in the guise of affordability, I will be supporting this, but one thing I do not support is getting these emails after 5 o'clock at night from the city of San Diego. I mean, I didn't look at my email again until about 4 this morning. And that's when I saw it. That's no issue there. But this stuff, you guys got to get your stuff together. There's too many times where the city has came to us the night before the meeting and then dropped something on us. And it's just, it's not fair to us to have to sit and try to digest it and maybe talk to staff and get more background information. You got to, you know, your staff needs to do a better job, please.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hilliker. Before we move on to director comments, are we okay with the screen? Technical difficulty?
Yeah, we're just, I tried to put together a quick slide to put on the screen that encapsulates the motion by Director Whitburn.
Thank you. All right, Director Scalzetti, followed by Director Norman.
Not on this committee, so thank you for letting me speak, Chair. Going through this extensive long-range financing plan that we all took time out of our lives to make sure that we had our minds on and came to special meetings and jumped through all the hoops, this last-minute attempt to sideswipe all your colleagues and people that you work with and spend time with to create these, you know, building blocks for these plans is really disrespectful, to tell you the truth. I'm just appalled by the point where we have a motion made and changing everything when we all spent time in these committee meetings. And what happened was, on one of the committee meetings, we were here spending our special time of a special thing, and the city of San Diego walks out on the building blocks. And it was you, Mr. Whitburn, ironically, that walked out, and we had to shut down the meeting because we can't get the information. So I just don't understand. If you really wanted to do the work and represent the people that our Chairman Serrano spoke about a couple of minutes ago, why aren't we doing the work? Why aren't you part of the process of the building blocks? Why are we getting sideswiped? And so if we want to go by the city's plans, which, let's be real here, every decision made here is backed by the city of San Diego. There's nothing we can't do without the city of San Diego. So why we're here is because of the decisions that are made by the city of San Diego. So all these things about affordability, let's roll up the sleeves. Let's dive into it. Let's get some affordability. But these people have been doing the work, and now we just come in with some grand other idea. So it's not really fair. And I'm feeling really disrespected. I don't know how my other colleagues are feeling, but spent a lot of time to try to get here, and now we're going in a different direction, which I don't feel comfortable. I think that we have a lot of discussions. We had a good plan. We want to make sure that we are sound as the Water Authority. How it affects my agency, I have to deal with it. How it affects your agency, you're going to have to deal with it too. But the Water Authority didn't send a 12 or 14% rate increase to you this year. And I'm just tired of the finger pointing. So if you guys really want to get to a solution and get to a plan where everybody feels good, let's just stay at these meetings and let's figure it out. But to leave them and shut down everybody's meeting, not get the information, and then get sideswiped at the end is super disrespectful. I hope you can approve it on that.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Director Scalzetti. I understand that there is a lot of passion and frustration in the room, and these discussions are never easy. And as we're having these discussions, I just really want to remind us all about our fiduciary responsibility. And I can understand, especially with, we have one agenda on this committee item, but it's an item that we're all committed to having deeper discussions around. So I appreciate everybody's passion and willingness to have these conversations. And we have a lot of speakers on the queue, and we'll be going down to make sure that we create that space so that directors feel as if that they are able to comment, provide direction, ask their questions. And again, thank you, staff, for your patience. Thank you, staff, for your resiliency as well, because there's a lot of different viewpoints from different agencies. And we have both the responsibility that we have as an agency, the member agencies, and as a water authority is one and the same, because we're all in the same boat. So with that, I will turn it to Director Norman, followed by Director Quaylen, followed by Director Ray, and we'll continue to have these discussions before we start voting on our motion.
Thank you for letting me speak. I know I'm a newbie and I'm not in the water business from my profession, but what I found very interesting with this is that, yes, it's a plan, it's a framework, and I understand that. So I'm a little perplexed by the need to change, because it is a document, policies that can be discussed. But as others have said, it is frustrating that this didn't come out earlier. But moreover, this is aside, I was really struck by the comments regarding pure water and the indication that by doing pure water for your particular citizens or residents, you're not acknowledging that that is what is raising the rates for the rest of us. I mean, am I wrong? I don't know. But that seems, in the year I've been sitting here, that's what I'm seeing. So I'm glad to see in one of the charts where you need to do the rate smoothing because of decisions other jurisdictions, agencies are making for their particular part of the world, when I thought we were a team. How naive of me. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Director Norman. Director Quaylen?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted a quick comment. I know we talk about the 1.5, but to me, that number moves over time. We should be functioning between a 1.2 to a 2.0. Depending on what we're borrowing, if we're fiscally responsible, we'll be closer to that 2.0 until the time comes for us to borrow again. But I do believe that we need to update the rate stabilization fund policy. That would be my take. And just to kind of piggyback on what Director Scalzetti said, is we had a meeting 8 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, and none of this is brought up. So, yeah, we should be communicating a little bit better if these are the issues, especially at 8 o'clock in the morning before I actually go into my other job. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Ray.
Thank you, Chair. Pierce, could you bring up slide 11 from your presentation, please?
He's working on it.
No problem. While you're working on that. So on page 261 of the board packet, you guys go over the commercial paper short-term debt policy. You had some verbiage in there. And I find it interesting that the verbiage states that commercial paper program serves as a cash management tool, is primarily used to provide interim funding for capital expenditures that will ultimately be funded from another funding source, such as long-term debt. And you made the comment during your presentation that you don't necessarily have to fund CIP with cash when your infrastructure they're paying for is going to be over time, 30 years, a pipeline over 30 years. This agency has some short-term debt that has been refinanced for over 20 years. So at what point in time do we stop refinancing this interim funding over a period of time, or reissuing over a period of time, and actually paid down that debt? Because, I mean, I'm not really sure what, for example, there's $110 million commercial paper out there that has been in existence and refunded since 2006. And at what point in time are we reaching the life of that infrastructure and we're still paying on the debt that funded it? So I had you bring up this slide because you also mentioned several times in your presentation in response to comments that we're trying to pay down debt. But the next 14 years, debt is going up. It's not reducing. Not until 2039 do we actually see a significant reduction in the debt of this agency. I'm holding out for 2039 because I just think that, you know, we have to, I know that it's not a problem that we can fix overnight. I know it's something that takes time to accomplish, but in 14 years, we're taking on more debt, not paying down debt. And there's going to be a time when the infrastructure that we funded with debt is now reached its lifespan and we have to replace it or repair it. And we're still paying it off. It just doesn't make sense. So I would really like to see a more of a change in our short-term debt policy where we have, an actual limit where how many times we can refund short-term debt. I also don't know, it says that notes at any time given will not exceed the established not to exceed amount of the CP program. I don't think that I've ever read, and it doesn't mean that there isn't one. I just don't know what our not to exceed amount is for short-term debt for the CP program. I also think, and I know that it's a risk that when we refund short-term debt, that we might refund it at a higher rate. And so it isn't always a cost savings. I'd really like to have something in the policy that says that we don't do that. Why would you refinance something at a higher interest rate? That's not smart, but I know that we get into a position that we have to because we don't have the $110 million to pay off in cash. I understand that. So I just really would like to see more next time around, try to work on the short-term debt issue. You know me, short-term debt is my issue here. So I just think that we need to really address that and stop reissuing this debt that's supposed to be interim funding. I'd also like to just make a comment. My colleague, Director Sanchez, and the whole Pure Water Project, and trying to create affordability for your ratepayers. I understand that, but ironically, the Pure Water Projects are what's hurting this agency. It's less water sales, and therefore they can't collect the revenue to cover expenditures from water sales any longer. So they have to push it through onto fixed cost pass-through charges. Let me tell you what fixed cost pass-through charges have done to my district. I have 350 customers in an agency that is 97% agriculture, 350 customers. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, my fixed cost pass-through charges were $900,000. Now they are $1.6 million. To 350 customers. One of my customers' pass-through charges is $488,000, one customer, all because the Pure Water Projects and the reduction in water sales at this agency have caused a restructuring of the rate structure at this agency that pushed fees and costs from being able to collect through water rates onto fixed cost pass-through. That has decimated my customers, decimated them. So forgive me if I'm not a fan of Pure Water, because it's absolutely decimating this agency and its other member agencies.
Thank you for your comments, Director Ray. We have a couple of other speakers on the queue, Director Friha, followed by Director Myers, as we continue this very passionate discussion.
Great. Thank you, Chair. I'm not a member of the committee, but I did want to take this opportunity, though, to focus on the business model process as Tish mentioned in her opening comments, and I believe it is really key to long-term fiscal sustainability for this organization and affordability, is that business model process. I think we need to right-size this organization based on the fact that in 10 years, we're going to be delivering only 200,000 acre feet of water. So we really need to right-size this agency, and I think it's going to be achieved through that business model process. I think some of the areas that we can look at, for example, is I know LPO committee, we're going to have a staff update on the outreach efforts, and staff is doing an amazing job on that. But I do think we need to consider, again, in 10 years, what level of outreach, public outreach, do we need? And so, again, I think staff needs to contact, work with the member agency staff, decide what their needs are on outreach, and move forward with that. Because I just don't think when we're going to be selling only over 200,000 acre feet of water that we can now afford to do those all this outreach. Again, the staff's doing a great job, Mr. Lee, but it's just a matter of, you know, how much that we're going to be able to afford. The other area too is, again, looking at our CIP projects and what our, getting back to our core mission and what our core mission is. One of the examples I always bring up is the proposed San Vicente pump storage project and whether we still should be spending staff time on that project. It doesn't, in my mind, it doesn't get to the core mission. It hasn't shown that it's going to provide any more affordability to our customers yet. And so I think staff should not be pursuing any more Prop 4 funds. I know they did last year for that project. I do not think they should do that. I think if they're pursuing funding for Prop 4 monies at the state level, that money should go to infrastructure, water infrastructure. And so, again, I think because I appreciate the opportunity to make these comments, I look forward to the general manager and member agency staff effort on this business plan model, because I really think that is going to be key to affordability and the fact that we've already, I know we have the QSA settlement, and our general manager, Dan Denham, has done, I think, a marvelous job in initiating some of the transfer exchanges discussions. But that's all going to be part of this model. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Director Freehoff. Director Myers?
Thank you. I'm not a member of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm not going to go, I guess, deep into the lack of notice on this issue, but I do want to, I guess, make the comment that I'm upset about that. Having this letter dropped on us, having this motion without any discussion of this within this deliberative body before right now for it. It was something that was brought up, discussed, vetted by our staff, and our staff, who we appreciate, came to the conclusion this was the best interest of the Water Authority. And so I'm not going to belabor it. I know there's some emotion, but that's the consequence of dropping things like this, and it gets some people kind of worked up. And I think that's something that we need to fix. And that we can't have these things dropped on us. So let me just back up a little bit and just get to the, you know, try to get back to where we are and what the purpose of this document is. And so really what I, and I like Lisa Marie, if you could weigh in too, what I really want to know is that, so this document is really one intended for the bond market. And it is, as I understand it, it's intended for the underwriters and the people who are going to decide how much we are going to pay for this debt. Mm-hmm. So what we have to be concerned about is what is the potential collateral damage that is caused by bringing this motion and putting these, whatever you want to call them, changes to it in this context. Because as the general manager has said, this is not a document is going to drive where we end up on affordability and rates down the road. We're not in the rate process yet. This has nothing to do with the rate process. It has to do with how much we're going to be paying for the debt that we're going to be issuing. So I'd just like to ask you the question is, what is the potential collateral damage caused by these amendments that are being proposed?
Well, my primary concern, again, is on the ceiling of the coverage.
And it's really, again, driven by the fact that it's unprecedented. And that's going to cause some concern to the investors and to the rating agencies that we're being imposed to have a change that no one in the country has. And it sends a message that there's a lack of confidence that we're not going to do the right thing, even if the coverage levels were to increase to an unprecedented level. We would absolutely come to this agency, the board of directors, without a policy stating that, of course, we're going to come back. That's what every entity in the country does. And so that's what I'm concerned about. There's a risk that there's lack of confidence that's going to be put out into the marketplace. Now, but it's a risk. It may not materialize. But all I can tell you from 30 years experience, I don't know what else to add to tell you.
So there's a risk that we might be paying more in carrying this debt because of these changes.
If the investors consider our plan and our financial position more risky, they're going to demand higher payment for it. Yeah.
So don't get me wrong, I am there with affordability, 100%. I'm with you, okay? We're all with you on affordability. But dropping things like this in that name when it could have the actual impact being completely the opposite isn't a good idea. It's not good, prudent governance. And so I don't sit on this committee, but if I were to sit on this committee, I would not agree and I would oppose the amendments. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Myers. Director Miller, followed by Director Whitburn.
Thank you, Chair. Director Meyer kind of hit on my comments. I was wondering on the item number one of the change, what is the effect of not including the updated rate stabilization fund policy, that line? What is the outcome of that?
We've heard from the board over the last several years that there's some confusion in that. So I think the attempt here was just to clarify the use case of the RSF and help clarify when and how we can use those funds. I think if we maintain the existing policy, the funding levels remain the same, everything stays the same, and that confusion maybe continues.
Okay. Well, I'll agree with Mr. Scalzetti and Mr. Arant and Mr. Myers. I think you did a great job on this. It took countless meetings of the water wizards in their area to come together with this. And now we're going to change it to the last second. I value what the city says and what the city's going, but I'm perfectly fine with what you presented. It's a living document that we can move around in if we need to. We can adjust if we need to. I don't see the need to adjust it right this second before we've even adopted it. So I would support the original plan. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Director Whitburn.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me just say, I really appreciate the robust discussion that we've been having this morning. And I do want to thank everybody, including the member agencies who have invested a lot of time and expertise on the document that is in front of us. I do hear the concern about getting new proposals with little notice. I do not like surprises either. I will make every effort to ensure that the City of San Diego makes its thoughts known earlier than has happened in this instance. I will say that it is a result of ongoing conversations and certainly is not intended to communicate any disrespect at all. I have great respect for the other member agencies in this room and for the people who represent them. I will say I am pretty accustomed to dealing with motions and counter motions. And I sit on a deliberative body where things change at the last minute all the time. And I think that the public often prefers that things not be set in stone before there is a public discussion on them. And I think there is a place for having a robust discussion and an exchange of views and making a decision based on the various perspectives in the room. And I respect the variety of perspectives that are here in the room today. I will also point out that the motion that is in front of us right now is not directly reflect what was in the letter that was sent by the city of San Diego last night. Between last night and this morning, I have worked to take the information in the letter. You heard me talking to staff about the perspectives of staff, and we have crafted a motion that I think captures the concerns of the city of San Diego, but also respects the perspective of the Water Authority. And I do not think that the motion in front of us sends us in any particularly significant different direction. And I think that it respects affordability, it respects the financial considerations that are in front of us. And I think it's a good plan. So I appreciate the discussion. We'll try to do better on the timing in the future. I think this motion is ultimately a good one for the agency and the people that we represent. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Whitburn. Secretary Lines.
Thank you. I'm not on this committee, so I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I appreciate all of my colleagues' comments, and many of my questions were already answered. And so what I want to say is my conclusion is that the proposed changes in this motion will actually make us weaker. I'm really focusing on what Director Myers was saying, and I really appreciate your questions, Director Myers. But anything that makes us look weaker as we're negotiating and getting new money and as far as our debt coverage ratio is not going to support affordability. And the big picture is we want to take action that makes us stronger, not weaker. So I will not be supporting this motion.
Thank you. Director Coates Hedberg.
And okay, I keep pressing the speak button. Okay, thank you, Chair. And thank you for having this discussion, but no thank you to the last minute drop on us board members and directors like this. This is just not not working together, and we are a region. We are not the city of San Diego. And actually, Director Neal, you asked the question that I was asking is how do these motions impact us? And it appears it's going to impact affordability in the wrong direction. We will not be able to get the right debt rates on the market. This is sending a message, a negative message to the bond industry. And I just don't appreciate that, you know, all this was put on us in the last minute and without us to have more discussion on this and time to consider. This is the city playing politics with the region. And when you even have your house not in order, I don't know where you're getting your financial advice to give over our financial house here recommendation. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Coates Hedberg. Last speaker on the queue, Director Flussy.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Chair, to speak, and thank you for staff for your presentation. I'm not on this committee, but I do sit on the MAM. And on Tuesday, we had a meeting and none of this was brought up. And so it is really a last minute, and it's kind of a last minute of 13 months of work. And that's unfortunate. And really what it is also, I have been on this board for less than a year, and this has happened twice from the city where we've gotten last minute or the night before information where we are about to vote on an item that we have discussed in multiple board meetings and multiple workshops. And so to bring up this at a last minute is, you know, obviously we've gone through it. It's not great. But what another thing is, we don't know what the risks are. There are risks. And so what I would want to know is it a moderate risk? Is it a conservative risk? Is it an aggressive risk? That's what we usually do when we are evaluating these things. And that's what we did in the past 13 months. So to come in last minute, although I think they're great suggestions, I don't think they need to be, if it's a living, breathing document, why can't we review these, come up with this, whatever it, these risks are, and then as a board, discuss those risks and see what it is we want to move forward. But I don't think it's really responsible for us to take on these risks that haven't been vetted or evaluated. And so I do respect everybody's opinion and the affordability. Yes, we're all here for affordability, but to make last minute revisions for a 13-month document and workshops and not evaluate correctly what these risks are, I think it's doing a disservice to our community and to our residents. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Flessy. And I would like to thank each and every single one of the directors, both for chiming in, for your discussion points. I understand the frustration. Just to be a little bit tongue in cheek, was it before us right now? It's not what time the city sends the letters or the recommendations, even though that's duly noted. The other aspect of it also is just when I look back at the decisions that have been made by this board for a very, very long time. I'm grateful for the difficult decisions that were made in the past for us to be where we are today. We have clean, safe, reliable water because folks took a chance. And I want to applaud the board of directors that came before us for being able to bring this agency to where we are today. And I understand that there are a lot of difficult discussions and a lot of difficult decisions. I don't envy Dan for his position. I don't envy the staff for their position, and I don't envy us in our position, because I'm hoping that future boards can look back at this time and say, you know what, they had a lot of they had a difficult journey in trying to balance both affordability across the board, not just to ratepayers that are living in the urban area, but also ratepayers in the rural area as well, that they had difficulty in terms of trying to make decisions that really kept this agency stable financially, that they had difficulty, but they made the right decisions when it came to our infrastructure and across the board for a lot of the decisions that we're making. And with that kind of understanding, that gratitude that I'm feeling and the responsibility that I'm feeling as a director and recommending our colleagues to understand as well that history that we inherited, but also knowing that future boards will be looking back at the decisions that we make today. And so I really appreciate everybody's discussion, comments, and points that they are making as we're having to have a very difficult conversations that are not going to ease up for the rest of the year as well. And the fiduciary responsibility that we have to really consider a lot of different points. And so with that, I would like us to go back to the core of what we're doing here, which is we have a motion on the floor. We have a second by Chair Serrano. We'll vote on this motion and we'll move forward with our agenda item. But I just wanted to take that moment to thank you all and then ground us in where we came from, where we're headed, and knowing that we have a lot of difficult discussions and decisions to make moving forward. So with that, we have a motion by Director Whitburn. We have a second by Chair Serrano. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? No. All right. So Nicole, we'll call. Yeah. Let's do the roll call.
Chair Abdullahi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rant?
No.
Directors Acosta?
Yes.
Douglas?
Yes.
Hilliker? Yes. Kirschbaum?
No.
Morrison?
No.
Norman?
No.
Quaylen?
No.
Rivera?
No.
Sanchez?
Yes.
Serrano?
Yes.
Whitburn?
Yes.
Williams?
No.
The motion does not pass.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the staff recommendation?
Motion Rivera, approve staff's recommendation.
I have a motion by Rivera. Second by Morrison. All right, let's take the vote.
Chair Abdullahi. Vice Chair Rant.
Aye.
D- Directors Acosta?
Yes.
Douglas?
Yes.
Hilliker?
Yes.
Kirschbaum?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Norman?
Yes.
Quaylen?
Yes.
Rivera?
Yes.
Sanchez?
No.
Serrano?
No.
Whitburn?
No.
Williams?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. We have two information items on the agenda: controller's report on monthly financial activity, as well as the board calendar. There are no closed session items, no further business, and the ANF committee is now adjourned. Water Planning and Environmental Committee up next in 5 minutes.